Just tell me when.
Go for it. Tell us some story about growing up and how y'all came to know the church.
Okay. Well, Nathan, at my age, it's hard to remember everything, but I can remember quite a few things. I grew up in the little town of Marvin, and when we first became acquainted with the church that I knew about, Mother and Dad were members from 1938, I believe it was. And of course, they weren't as strong. My dad was not a teacher. And we met with individual cups. That's what we knew. And so, as time went on, why, Brother Jim Russell from Fresno, he had a job of delivering medicines and new things to these doctors. He worked for a company in Los Angeles. And we had no hotel, but we had no motel in Arvin. And so he got gasoline at the station to our neighbors. And he asked if there was anywhere that he might stay. And they said, yes, Mrs. DeGoff down here about three blocks. She'll rent you a room. That was my grandmother. And Jim went and rented a room from grandmother. And he got to talking to her that evening, and he saw things on her wall that said, the Lord is the head of this house, things like that. And he said, it looks like that you are a religious woman, Mrs. DeGoff. And she said, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And Jim said, I am too. And she began to tell him about the church, and she said, we're doing something that I don't believe is right. So grandmother's was raised, I think, 5 years old. Her dad died, Samuel Royal, one of the first preachers in Texas, around Forestburg. Anyway, she said, we're having on the Lord's table individual cups. And Jim said, I don't believe that's right either. Could I talk to someone? And she said, my son, that was my dad, said he's not a real good teacher, but he's one of them. And she said, you can talk with him. And so he did. Then he comes up here to Ceres, talks to Brother John Reynolds. And John Reynolds came down and talked to the brethren and preached. And Brother Reynolds believed that you should have wine on the Lord's table. And for a period of time, we did. Then, when preachers started preaching about what was right during the meetings, well, then Dad decided we were wrong. And as Brother Chester King said one time, he said, your dad had a talk with his sister. That was my Aunt Flora. We called her Shorty. They lived in East L.A. And after we had changed over, they went to talk with her and my uncle, Jack, who was my brother's brother, to see if they would come and learn the truth. And so my aunt put up the argument that we were not right. We used a glass, she said. It wasn't a cup. She didn't know that it's defined as a cup without a stem, you know. And so Dad spoke to her, and he said, well, sister, you're just about gone. That's the one I died on. And so 2 weeks later, they go to Siskiyou Street in East L.A. and took their stand for the truth and met there all those years. I said, but some of the preachers that came, I said, to help us out, and brethren also from L.A. area, I said, I remember Brother Carl Nichols, Paul's dad, and Paul and Galen were young men, and he was traveling with Irvin. Or perhaps he was through traveling with Irvin. And he came and preached. Brother Chester King was doing work, the mission work in California, along with another preacher or so. And Chester preached, and that was in those times, helping us to be rooted in what was right. My dad made the announcement that to the congregation we were wrong, and we're not having cups anymore. And the whole church accepted it. And so we got right. And I was, like I said, I was a boy, maybe 9 year old at the time. It was in the early 40s during the war years. And so these different preachers came. They were in California preaching. Maybe hold a meeting, they'd come by and preach for us. I said, Irvin Waters was one of the men that preached, held meetings, Chester King. and Paul Clovis Cook when he come out here. And I said, Barney Welch came out. He came by and preached and went on preaching in the L.A. area. Different ones. And I wondered, why are all these people, different preachers, coming? And I found out they were helping us, rooting us in what was right. And I said, when we had a meeting then, brethren from Los Angeles area would come. I remember Brother Nichols and Brother Stone, D.E. Stone from Montebello, Brother Osborne, Galen's father, Brother Otis Osborne, and families came, different ones, and really helped us drive all that distance. We had a meeting, they would come, and then they would go home that night. And so we really appreciated that. Brother Abe Smith, who was Don McCord's father-in-law, was preaching. He came and stayed with us, and he preached. And possibly I forgot a few, but those men I remember well. And Brother King later preached, and I said, Brother Gay later. And I said, he wasn't known to us real well until the early 50s when he helped us get the congregation started in Bakersfield. But I said, we had one couple, a young couple, to show you how things are at first. They would wait until the teaching was over. They would come in and sit down, take communion, and leave. I said, they were not very strong. I cannot think of their names, but they were good people, but that's all they believed was necessary in worship. So lots of things we had to be grounded in the worship. We met in a building that was just more or less a barn. It was called the Workers' Alliance Building. And I said it was not sealed inside, a dirt floor. And the benches we had were like patio benches. Until later, I think the brother built a back on them. And I said, it seemed like there were 22 people, or maybe a few more. And I said, you know, they would all come. And that building came up for sale at an auction. And my dad, not knowing the difference, he said to my mother, why don't you and Sister Stewart go and bid on that building? So Sister Stewart was one of the first members. Well, we used to meet in a house, Sister Reed's home. And anyway, they went and bid on this. And Mother bid $800, and they got it. And I said, today we wouldn't send our sisters to bid on buildings, you know. But it needed a lot of fixing up. We had a 55-gallon oil drum for a heater. Put wood in, set it out in the middle. And when it was cold, we'd gather around it. In the summertime, we had no cooling system. So a funeral home in Bakersfield Hopkins, which a lot of us used for family and friends, brethren, they furnished us fans, which didn't help much. But I said, through the years, I began to get serious about the doctrine and what was being taught in the church through the teaching of my dad and mother. I said, Dad would read in the evening to us, and then Mother in the morning would sing with us. In the summer, went out of school, and she would talk to us. And so I was more or less taught that thus saith the Lord is what it means. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing else but that. That's truth. That's the word of God. And so through the years, we had gospel meetings, and people were baptized. We grew. And years later, I said, in the outdoor meetings we used to have across town where we lived, I said, we had those for about 6 or 7 years in a row, and they were baptized under about six. 1 year, 18, Paul held a meeting outdoors, Paul Nichols. And I said, Paul was a great help. Brethren loved him as a young man, a good gospel preacher, and he stood for these principles like all of them did at the time. You could depend on preaching the same thing. And I said, Irvin Waters baptized us during a meeting. He baptized my brother Wayne, myself, and Sister Mildred Barrett, who was the wife of Doyle that just passed away last week. And I said, brethren took a real interest. They were farm people, country people, and they responded to the gospel. And I said, Dad never considered himself a great teacher, but he would teach Brother Stewart, who was real old at the time, he didn't teach much, but he would read, you know, and so forth. Brother Dewey Best was with us. Brother Dewey believed wine was all right. And I said, Paul came and stayed with Dad and Mom, and he held a meeting. Come Lord's Day, he got up and he said he was going over to Taft, where Brother Rankin lived, and just his family met over there. And so Dad said, are you going over there because we have wine? He said, yes, that's it. I conscientiously can't take with the wine, alcoholic wine. And Dad said, well, that's going to be taken away. Dad had learned by listening, you know. And so he took it out. Well, it disappointed some. But later on, brethren began to understand about things, you know. And I said, the church did grow. Now, I became a teenager. I think I made my first talk at 13. And I said, it wasn't much of a talk. But the brethren began to ask us to take a part. So I would lead singing best I could. And Brother Clovis Cook held a meeting and a singing school one time in the summer. We had 15-day meetings, three Lord's Days. And we would meet before the services, maybe at 6 o'clock. And Clovis would teach us a singing school till 7. We started our 7:30, we started the worship service. He would preach. And after the preaching, he would go with my dad to help with his own support. And he would load up trucks with a 100-pound sack of grain, 20 ton. They'd get in late at night, and Clovis was up early in the morning, and some teaching us both, my brother Wayne and I again. And I said, we had different brethren the whole singing school. Paul held a good one. Billy Jack Ivey held one. And I said, Brother King, John Elmore held one later as a young man. But I said, I'll tell you, we had preachers checking on us and helping us. And they were all very patient. And so I learned about the doctrine of Christ. I learned the seriousness of staying with the book. And if it's not taught, we had aggressive preachers come by and want to preach because they had formerly. And they couldn't understand why we wouldn't let them preach. And Dad would say, no, you're not going to preach here. And so they would get up in time to get to Lamont, a town 8 or 9 miles away, and worship with the congregation over there. And so they quit coming finally. But I said, as the church was growing, brethren became more grounded in what was right. I said, we were able then to build a building. And we built this building on Mark Street, corner of Mark and Walnut, in Arvin, across town. And I said, then there were brethren that would talk about our building. Oh, the brethren spent too much money. I said, the brethren built that building on that lot we bought for $14,000. And I said, it was paid for. And I said, it was a nice building. And the brethren built the seats for it in the Arvin High School wood shop. And brethren knew how. And that's what we had for years. And I said, our meetings continued, and then they started supporting work. In about 1952 or 51, in the fall, in November, Brother Gay and Billy Jack Ivey come out. And my brother Wayne and Johnny were back there as boys trying to preach, and they come out with them to help us start at Bakersfield. And so we had Brother Gay and Billy Jack as the preachers. And then came Dorman Bright, Pinky, Arkansas, with Leon Fancher. They were going to travel with Linwood. Linwood came out. So we had a lot of help there to get going. That's how we got our start. We had a meeting in a home, Women's Club building for a while. And the earthquake came in 52 in the summer. And all the buildings were condemned. It was a brick building, a nice building. But nobody used it then. And they never done one thing to it. And after a few years, they cleared it. But we wouldn't meet there. And so when we started in Bakersfield, and Arvin helped us, and Arvin helped support that work. They did support it. And we had good men at Arvin, and we had good families at Bakersfield. We bought a building. It was the McGundon Farm Bureau building on the corner of Weepatch Highway and Brundage Lane. And we met there, and then Paul came and worked with us. I think in 1958 he was there. And then he went to Africa the second time, and Galen was with him. When he come back, he moved to Bakersfield. And he stayed there until 1968, when he came to Modesto. I said, however, through the years, the church had a close relationship with Paul Nickel. He was kind of a stay. And really, he wasn't kind of, he was a stay, and it helped us get started over on Plans Road across town. And I said, but that's kind of the history briefly. And the church grew, people were baptized across town, the congregation really grew. And I said, we finally got a building that belonged to the Baptists, and they had to move it because of the freeway. It was tied to another one. Mm-hmm. And they cut off the auditorium part and moved it over there and set it on a big lot we had. And that's how the church at Plans Road, as far as meeting there, got started. Mm-hmm. We all met at Brundage Lane for a long time. And I said, there were some times that we had some problems, but they always got resolved. And seemingly we had men that could lead. And I don't say this to boast, but my father was one of them that had wisdom to do that. Brother Nichols said one time, and I'm quoting what his son Richard told me. Richard wrote me a letter. He said, my dad, always considered your dad as a man of wisdom and a great leader in the church. So we had a close tie, especially with the brethren in L.A. area. And I said, Don McCord was preaching, and Don made this known publicly. He said, I was a young fledgling preacher, and I remember Brother Carl D. Goff as my dad, Brother Rillon Elliott, Brother Arlie Brewer, which is my son-in-law's, I mean my brother-in-law's dad, drove all down here several nights to hear me preach. They were all working men from Arvin. And he said, brethren cooperated just like that. Distance didn't seem to matter. Sacrifice, being tired, brethren still go. We went to Corcoran, used to be a church there. Armona church was there. And to Porterville, Orange Cove. And I said, I remember the meeting that was held in Merced, but the tent meeting, Brother Arthur Wade held that. And I said, Arthur was living out here and working. And we drove 4 or 5 nights in the summer, no air conditioning, starting about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we would drive to Merced, and we'd get there in time for services. After it's over, leave about 9:30 and drive clear home to Arvin, which is about 150 some miles one way. I said, but we were not the only ones. There were other brethren from congregations I'm talking to you about. They would cooperate with us and come, working people. And I said, if brethren ever doubt those days, and that was not the thing to do, they need to think about that. The church grew through great cooperation and encouragement, you know, and standing fast in the faith once delivered. So Glenn and I married in 56, and we settled in at Bakersfield. I was a meat cutter at the time. And she was very grounded in the faith, Glenda was. One reason I loved her and married her so much was because we thought alike, you know. Besides her being my beautiful bride, I said, but these things were happening, not just my family, but others all over really had an interest in the cause. And so basically that's what I know about the church. And I moved up here. I met at Modesto for a few months. I let it be known we wanted to start a congregation in Turlock. And we did, and we met in the fairgrounds in Turlock, rented a building there. And the brethren at Escalon paid our rent, $100 a month for 16 months. And then we found the building we're in now, and we made a deal for that. Okay. That's kind of the story up to now. And of course, I've grown to be 80 years old. But I never would sacrifice. I was a ball player in school. I played in high school, grade school, as far as that goes. In basketball, I was on the first team, first five. And we had a meeting with Benny Cryer. Benny was traveling with Irvin. He came out here, and Irvin had to go to Washington for the CO boys. Mm-hmm. And he asked if brethren would let Benny hold that meeting. And so brethren said yes. And so he started on Lord's Day, and we played Friday and Saturday night. And I just told the coach I wouldn't be there. So he had put me back, and I had to work my way back up. But I've never missed a service for playing ball, because I was taught that's first, regardless. And so I can't say that I always was straight on everything. I wasn't. I had to be rebuked at times. But on the other hand, when you're brought up with a congregation of brethren behind you and understand, put the Lord first, it makes a big difference. So that's kind of my story, brother.